we continue our dialogue with our Lord. Yesterday, we were meditating on the Mass, which is the sacrifice of the cross present here in a real sacramental manner. The sacrifice of the cross, the sacrifice, sacramental sacrifice in the altar, is the same sacrifice, not a repetition, but one and the same. We were contemplating how we are joined with Christ in offering the same sacrifice. Now, for the Israelites, Hebrews, and in general for all the Semitic people, the sacrifice, a sacrifice that seals a covenant, a contract, should be completed by means of a participation of the two parties partaking of the offered victim, actually eating a bit of it both. This legitimizes the sacrifice. That's why even among the pagans, this was the custom. That's why St. Paul says, if you don't eat the meat sacrificed to the idols, because you have eaten the Lamb of God, so he put together, side by side, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, made present in the Mass. They have taken communion. So you cannot go after the offerings of the pagans to Jupiter and to Zeus and to St. Paul in his letter. He says you have to cut off completely. Well, communion completes the sacrament of the Eucharist. That's why the Church teaches us that it's desirable that we take communion, although for the legitimate celebration, it would be enough that the priest takes communion, but it's not the best thing. It's better that the people, as much as possible, take communion, as long as they are prepared, of course. There are a series of conditions, which is not the point now, that the Church proposes to us, and we have to fulfill as obedient children of the Church, our Mother, the Church. So communion is notarizing that covenant, that berit. How is my communion? Do I prepare myself? Do I seek it? I was telling you how after the Mass you had to continue your own Mass, to put it this way. It's not exactly a Mass, no? But yes, your offering, like a continuation. Not disconnected, but a continuation of the sacrifice on the altar, on the cross of Christ. Then you are the victim, united to Christ, never separated, whatever you do. So during the day, you continue united to Jesus. You're also, and you need to be united with Jesus in conversation with him. Why? Because we were seeing that he is not a force, he's not a concept, he's not a principle. No, he is a person. And what a person. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity, infinite, who is God. So you can talk to him face to face because he has a face. He took on a human nature. conversation with Jesus to find out what should I do, because you had to accomplish yourself by means of your own decisions. The Lord gave us many examples of prayer. Of course, the most important is the Lord's Prayer. When the disciple asked him, "How? Teach us to pray." The same way that John the Baptist taught his disciples. That was usually the task of a rabbi to the people, his tutoring. And the Lord said, when you pray, you have to say, Pater Noster, our Father, Aman Amin. First, Father, Pater. Then, Noster, of us, because we always had to begin our prayer considering whom am I talking to. You know, before, people communicated by means of letters that you put inside an envelope. Now it's all internet. When you begin, it was an art to write a letter, epistolar literature was called. And you began saying, Sir, comma, or Your Excellency, comma, you first, or Messieurs, so you first mention the person, or Dear John, okay? So you mention the person you are talking to. Likewise, prayer is a conversation with God. So that's why you talk to him. But you consider that he is your Father. You don't say, oh, Jupiter, or no, Father. How simple the Lord has taught us to pray. How simply, directly, do I put myself in the presence of God, considering that God is my Father who loves me. And then, of ours, Noster, Namin, we have to continue considering that I am not Iha Unika. I am not the only son or daughter of God. No, I have obligations towards the others. I'm in a family. If I pray, I have to consider that the others also need. So therefore, I have to include the others. In other words, this thing of being a part of the church, it's not just a certain moment. No, it's a permanent quality of yours. You never stop being a child of God, united to everybody else, brothers and sisters of God in the church, children of God in the church. Pater Noster. Apart from the Lord's Prayer, the Lord tells, well, there, the Lord tells us the main intention that we have to pray. It would be very good. You take practically all the fathers of the church, serious writers, have a treatise on the Lord's Prayer. St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom. It's very good sometimes to bring it to St. Cyprian, bring it to our prayer, to learn how to pray the most internal, important prayer. And also, as we contemplate the gospel, we see how Jesus prays, as it was his custom, at the end of the day, before he starts his public life, he put aside 40 days to pray. As he begins his day of work, St. Matthew tells us that Jesus prayed at the end of the day. When he performs miracle, he invoked his Father God, and he thanked him, he glorified him. At the moment that he makes big decisions, like for instance, choosing the apostles. He goes to prayer. How do I take my decisions? Do I previously consider them in my prayer? At all moments, Jesus himself has advised us, always pray and do not lose heart. Semper orare. So our prayer had to have a quality and always in Jesus and through Jesus. A consequence of being a person trying to identify himself or herself with Jesus. Can you talk to God? We are talking about talking to God, but can you? Later on, take your phone and look at the contacts, the list of contacts, and try to find God the Father. No, you don't have there his phone number. Therefore, you cannot text to God the Father. You cannot call him. You cannot pray. Right? Now, let's continue. In the Mass, you talk to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ with you. You are with him, offering the sacrifice of the cross, which is the sacrifice of the Mass. In Jesus, you offer that sacrifice, and with him, you participate because of your baptismal priesthood. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the Mass, is accepted by God the Father because he says, he is my beloved Son. So Jesus has access to heaven. The portals of heaven are not closed for him because he's the owner. So if you entrust your message to him, for sure he will deliver to his Father because he's always in contact with God the Father. So let's ask ourselves the question, can I send a message to God the Father? And the answer is yes. Yes, through Jesus Christ. Through him, there is no failure. There is no block. Because he is always with God the Father. Never separated. Distinct, but not separated. Now, is my prayer always in Jesus and through Jesus? Is my prayer connected with my Mass? We were saying as a continuation. You see how important it is to have a unified life centered in Jesus Christ, including our prayer. Because it's the moment that we open up to him, not to ourselves. We are just little. And nowadays, so many people talking about meditation, transcendental meditation, which is to enclose in yourself, no? What are you going to find there? Would you find yourself? Not even that. It's all darkness because the light is on. It's not on, rather, it's off. God is our light. If you don't try to understand yourself in Jesus, you will never understand yourself. Begin from him. He has the key of your happiness. You see how important it is to turn our prayer into dialogue with Jesus Christ and through him to implore God the Father. So our prayer has to be done with piety, realizing that we are talking to my Savior, not just to the pizza vendor, with attention. How ugly, no? When you are with a person and it seems this person is listening, but in fact is trying to answer a message in his telephone. That's bad manner, right? Well, apply it to your prayer. We don't pay attention when we're dissipated in many considerations, what I'm going to do later with this, with that, and we forget that the Lord is listening to us. How ugly. Prayer has to be done with sincerity, with confidence, talking about Him, Jesus, talking about ourselves, always fleeing from anonymity. Saint Jose Maria tells us it means being sincere with Jesus. I'm here, Lord. It's me. And this thing happened to me clearly. Not trying to hide. No. It's showing Him your wounds. Don't be afraid. He's your Lord. He's your God. He's your elder brother, your kuya, and He has died for you. Prayer has to be done with confidence. You cannot go to prayer and say, well, I don't. If you don't have confidence, practically it's an insult. Because it's like telling Him, I don't know, I'm bringing this up to you, but I know you are always, you never grant me. That's an insult, right? It has to be done with confidence. Lord, you always want the best for me because you are God. God cannot desire anything wrong because He is God. Nothing bad can come out from good because He is goodness. Trust and confidence. Total confidence. The more trust, the more hopeless you find yourself. Prayer has to be done with humility, recognizing your defects. You remember the Pharisees, who was not lying, saying, I pay the tithe, the 10% of the mint and the cumin. Yeah, but and so what? He was praising himself with very little things that he has done. And the publican was there, bent, saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. Recognizing himself a sinner. The Pharisees focused on his little positive points he had. The publican focused on his sins. He was humble. He came out of the temple justified, that is, with the favor of God in his soul. The Pharisee came out with more sins that he came in, with which he came in, because he was proud, so has to be humble. Humility is that realism that makes us realize who we are. We are instrument in the hands of God, in need of His help. And prayer has to be constant, persevering. Sometimes we wonder, why God did not grant me this? I prayed and He did not answer. Now, if God had granted it to you, if you went to prayer and you said, I need a new car, you go out of the church, and then the new car is waiting for you with the concessionaire there showing you, giving you the key. You will be so proud. You will be unbearable, no? Because, no, good things need to be requested. You have to insist. You remember in the gospel that woman insisting and the Lord testing her. You don't give bread to bread is for the children, not to the dogs. And she insists. Well, even the little dogs take the crumbs that fall from the table of their masters. And the Lord, woman, because of your faith, go home, your son has been cured. The Lord granted the miracle because of the persevering request of this woman. Don't lose heart. Pray. But pray what leads you to God. Sometimes we pray things that are going to be bad for us. Of course, God does not grant this. Lord, I want that this enemy of mine, when today he goes out, a lightning fulminate him. Okay, so you are desiring evil for that person. Okay, so don't continue. The Lord will not, not lightning, probably. So therefore, our prayer has to be, Lord, if it is your will. You see, it has to be with a big if, conditional. The condition is, if it is for your glory, if it is for my increase in sanctity, it is going to be good for me and for all. If, because you are not God and you don't know exactly if it's good or bad. How many things that initially we thought they were negative and bad for me eventually happened to be the best thing that happened to us? You see? Do I submit to the will of God? Yes, you can pray whatever you want. Yes, ask for it. But for it. And but add that condition. Father, if it is your will, take away this chalice from me, the Lord said. Even he himself, who is God, submitted to the will of God, and he is God. Imagine how we should do. Now, when we pray, we ask, we were saying, but prayer is not all petition. I'll tell you. Prayer is initially and first of all, essentially, adoration. Yeah, adoration. Number one, adoration. You adore God. That's why we say, I adore you with profound reverence. Adoration is not bad for you. On the contrary, when you adore God, you recognize him as God. So you participate of his glory because you are a child of God. So a human being is the greatest when he bows to God. We don't need to kiss the floor like the Muslim, but we have to kneel with the knees of our heart, the fathers of the church describe, with humility. I adore you, God. When you adore God, you accept that he is God and you are who you are. And that there is an abysmal difference. And if you are able to talk to him, it's because he is good to you. Therefore, next, number two is thanksgiving. You pray to thank God. Number two, because he allows you to talk to him, to be in his presence. He allows you to be free to direct yourself to him, and you want to direct yourself to him. And so many things that God has granted you, you thank him for your baptism, for your vocation, for being in this family, for belonging to your family, of course. So many things that constantly favors, that constantly the Lord showers us with. Number third, after thanking God, you have to recognize that you have fallen short of corresponding to Him. Therefore, number three is contrition. Yes, always. Not only when you commit a big sin, but constantly. Remember the publican. I'm sorry, Lord. I beg your pardon for my sins. We say, well, make it meaningful. Make it actual. I'm sorry. Why? Because no matter what, you always have to realize that you have fallen short of God's expectation. It's not to discourage you. On the contrary, to encourage you to continue corresponding more and more every day with greater love. And fourthly, of course, we pray asking our Lord. We are beggars. It's all right to ask our Lord, but always with that previous condition, Father, my Father, if it is your will, always praying. Praying for yourself, asking for yourself, but also asking for the others. Asking what leads you to God, first of all, not just material things, which you have to, of course. Do I pray for the others, for the sanctity of the people around me? You have more obligation to pray for the persons closest to you, living in the same house, that's natural. And also for those who are not so close, yes, of course. But there should be a difference, no? So, of course, greater intensity, the person they are closer. And everybody, with the victims of natural calamities or man-made catastrophes, or so many things. And after our prayer, how much serenity, because we have left everything in God's hands. We have to leave everything in His hand. Lord, you know best. But if possible, grant us peace, grant us serenity, that I may be closer to you. Do I pray for these things or just material things? That my will may always be obedient to you. Well, this is a very important thing to pray for. Sometimes we do not understand what is happening around us. Why? Lord, why do you permit this to happen? Yes, it's all right. Sometimes you don't understand what Jesus is telling you. Yes, it happened. Because we are not experts in languages. But there is always a person there who understands another. A mother. A mother is always the person who understands the child when the child begins to talk. The baby is only babbling and the mother says, he needs to eat or he needs to be changed. And I wonder, how does she know? You know why? Because both speak the same language, motherese. Okay, that's the language of the mothers. The mother, they always understand the children better than anybody else, better than the father even. Well, you have a mother, Our Lady. So if you don't understand what Jesus is giving you, what Jesus is demanding from you, go to her. Simple as that. Mother, I don't understand clearly. I don't know which way the Lord wants me to go. Can you please explain to me? And she will say, do whatever He tells you. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions